It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good Tuesday morning there, and it's July 30th. What, my goodness, where is time flying by? Thank you for joining here this morning. We got a beautiful little rain going on outside. It's going to be quite a bit of rain here in Ohio today. It's been kind of dry, and just glad that you're joining us. And want to try to take a minute and just to kind of explain to people who are tuning in for the first time, we've done a little bit of cross-pollinization in the last couple of days. I don't know if you've noticed that, and hasn't really been our intention. It's just kind of happened. Number one, David Heavener was on our show yesterday, and then David liked when we discussed the mark of Ezekiel in Ezekiel 9, and so I was on his show yesterday a little bit to talk about that and cross-pollinated, and we heard from some people who've been watching David on Roku, who now maybe are tuning into us here this morning. And also, we had a group of people when we were in Pastor Mike Spalding's event, Go Therefore this last weekend, picked up some new viewers there. So just let me, if you bear with me there, folks, just give me a minute to try to explain to everybody what's going on. And I just want you to know that we've been doing this show for 3 years, over 3 years, I think. I can't even remember exactly the day that I started. I started with about six of us in the queue. I have a little bit of a background as I did some terrestrial radio in my days gone by, and we moved into the internet age and, started doing a podcast. Mike Heath encouraged me to start a podcast. I didn't even know what it was, which is what this is. We jumped into Google Meet, and we've grown with Google Meet, and it's gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And no, I don't know how many people listen. It could be in the hundreds. It could be in the thousands. We really don't know. We're on a lot of different platforms. But the thing that we think that is unique about this program, this is a red meat show, baby. This is red meat. We throw it out there, and we chew on it. And the great thing about it, well, a lot of great things about it, is you don't have to agree. You don't have to be my twin to be my brother. You just don't have to be. And we like to dive in, dig into things that we've been taught. I've said some of the most dangerous things we know are things that aren't true. There's a lot of things that they're telling us. And we battle every day a disinformation campaign, all of us. I'm not just talking about it here. Our lives are disinformation campaigns. If you get a notice from the doctor, for instance, I've been going through some stuff AFib, whatever. I had that brief little heart attack, whatever that was, a month ago. I don't even know when it was now. And you don't even know about the world of medicine and AFib until you go through it. And then all of a sudden, now you're in a whole new world, and doctors are telling you this and they're telling you that. And if you got to take this pill and you got to take that pill, and the statistics say this, statistics say that. And they're the experts, so you believe them. Walter Cronkite was an expert, so you believed him. So we live in a constant battle against disinformation. And we've taken, extrapolated that. That's a big word I learned when I was in college. We've taken that same premise and we've applied it to the Bible, because we believe there's a lot of things in the Bible. No, let me say that again. We believe there's a lot of things that we do and believe and follow that are not in the Bible. Jesus warned us about making his commandments the doctrines of men and making the word of God of none effect. We dive into all of it here yesterday. I was on, as I said, David Heavener's show last night, and he asked me that fatal question, does God love everybody? Well, we dived into that one, and Lord knows that in my life that's already caused enough turmoil, not just with me, but with a lot of different people I said this to my wife last night. She brought up the fact that I was on David Heavener's show. I talked about that again. I said, well, honey, he asked me the question, and I gave him the answer. And then I said to her, the same thing I'm going to say to you right now. Where does it say anywhere in the scriptures, I'll wait, by the way, anywhere in the scriptures that God loves everybody? We believe that. They tell us that. I can show you specifically a couple, three, maybe four times where God specifically says there are things and people that he hates. But you're not going to find, we're open for discussion here. So these are the kind of things that we, let me back up. I don't leave you hanging there. God's love is available to everyone. It's available to everyone. But until you come into the family of God, you're not one of his children, folks. Your scriptures teaches that you're of your father, the devil, and the works of your father you will do. So those are the kind of, these are the kind of issues that we discuss regularly here at Coach Dave Live. We have what we call the queue. There are right now 42 different people who are able at any time to click a button and come in and have an open discussion. Your opinion matters here. There are people say, well, there's only 42 people watching. No, there's more than 42 people watching, but there are 42 people in what we call the queue. And some of them are regular faces, guys who have been in there. Larry, you'll get to know Larry. You'll get to know, just get to know a lot of people. Mark Trump will come in. George will pop in. Who am I forgetting? Going to make somebody mad. But it's an interactive thing. And it's not just me sitting behind this microphone, although I'm the conductor. I'm the coach. But we try to figure out in our minds why what we see going on around us does not line up with what the Bible teaches us. Although people say, well, it does. It does. Says things are going to get worse. Yeah, it does say that, but there's just so much to it. So if you're tuned in right now, I ask you this. Give us a few shows, if you will. Give us a chance. Don't judge us. People say, like I said one time, I had a lady said she couldn't watch me because I reminded her too much of her ex-husband. So if I remind you of your ex-husband or your ex-boyfriend, I'm sorry. Give us a little bit of time because I think you're gonna find this to be a place that where we can throw anything on the table and chew it up and spit it out and still remain friends at the other end. And I just got a question I want to throw out here real quickly. Jesus called it the rock. John Bevere wrote a book called "The Bait of Satan." The Bait of Satan. And he spoke about offense, people getting offended, and how offense was the bait of Satan. And I find this, especially with men, just being honest, man, we get offended so easy. We're so sensitive. We take things so personally. My skin's a little bit thicker, I guess, because I was a football coach and always during the football game, I'm getting screamed at and yelled at by the peanut gallery. People tell me what play I ought to be calling and who I ought to be having the game. And so you get, hey, criticism hurts anybody. There's no doubt about it. But you got to shake that stuff off, man. And criticism and offense can be a great opportunity to grow. If you don't let it take, John called it the root of bitterness. Let that get into our hearts. Get offended by something somebody said or disagree with somebody and you break fellowship with them. That's how we got denominationalism as far as I can tell. So as I always like to say, man, your 2 cents is worth 2 cents here. It is. So for those of you new folks, welcome aboard. We do it every morning at 7 o'clock. It's archived there all day long. If you're in here right now and you want to say something, all you got to do right there on your screen, let me pull that up there. All the names are down there. You just got to unmute yourself. Now you say, well, how do I do that, Coach? I'm on this phone. I've never done it before. Well, there's a little button when you're watching the show. There's a little tap the button and a little microphone pops up. And it'll be red because you're muted. All you do is hit it. Boom. Hit it and you're unmuted. And you can come in and you can join the conversation. Although a lot of places, there's a delay. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're watching on Facebook, wherever you're watching, sometimes it's a little bit of a delay. Maybe 10 seconds, maybe, just bear with us. And if I say, hey, anybody got something they want to say? And then we'll pause a minute because, again, there might be a delay on your end and we'll wait for you to come in here and say whatever you want to. In fact, I heard the microphone open. Yeah, go ahead.
Coach, Malachi 1:3 proves that God does not love everybody because he didn't love Esau. So, if he doesn't love everybody 100%, he doesn't love everybody because he didn't love Esau. So it's right there at Malachi 1:3.
Well, Vic, also, we don't understand what love is. I don't want to get into this today for the people who've heard this song over and over and over and over. God's love is available. And his love is, I'm looking right now, Vic, from Malachi, what you said. God's love is available. And God so loved the world, John 3:16, so loved the world. Not the individuals of the world. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, there's a condition, see, whosoever. Now, Vic, you said Malachi what? It doesn't matter. But I'm not gonna argue. I'm not gonna get drugged down that rabbit hole today.
So it was 1 and 3. Malachi 1 and 3.
Chapter 1, verse 3. Read it
yes,
to me.
Sir.
Read it to me.
All right.
Oh well, heck, I thought you had it. I got it right now.
Yeah.
Malachi 1, verse 3 says, "And I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness." And I hated Esau. Now that's because we don't understand the word hate either. We've Americanized these words. Hate does not mean, oh Lord, here we go. Love is, in my opinion, a general concern for. God has a general concern for every person. But it's just like you. You don't love some kid playing on your son's t-ball team. The same way you love your kid playing on the t-ball team. And you have a general concern for all of them. You want all the kids to do well, get a hit, and have fun. But you especially want your child to, because you have a relationship with your child, a personal relationship with your child. So God's love is available in that he cares for everybody on the t-ball team. He does. But he really, really loves those who he has a relationship, a more intimate relationship with. When we run around and tell everybody that God loves them, well, come on, man. We have to be more specific about it. How can God love everybody if the wrath of God abides on us? Which is what it says in John 3:30, I think it is. Apart from Christ, the wrath of God abides on us. I'm sorry, I don't want to get bogged down. That's the kind of stuff we talk about here at Coach Dave Live. So welcome, welcome, welcome. We're glad to have you. Real quickly, hey Matt. I heard you in the pre-show there, Matt. Hey, Matt, you got an update for us on the equal justice thing in Chappaqua and Hillary, and have we heard back from them? And what's our next step, Matt? Are you out there, buddy?
I am, Coach. I'm right here. Morning.
I'm sorry. I kind of ignored you here the last.
Oh
few
no,
days.
Don't. That's fine, man. It's all good.
And so lay it on table for us, bud.
We got a bunch of stuff going on, Coach. So there's multiple things besides equal justice. There's a million things going on. Here's what we have so far. Newcastle Police Department isn't going to do anything. So what they said is it's a federal matter. They are not going to take the criminal complaints and forward them on to the FBI or a prosecutor.
See, now, folks, stop. Let me stop you right there, Matt. I think that's malfeasance in office. I think they have a duty, if they know that happened, to report it to the feds. Maybe they don't have the right to prosecute it themselves, but they need to report it to the feds. Go ahead,
Coach.
Matt.
Coach, yes. Hold on. We all have a duty. They swore an oath to do it. They've already promised to do it. It's more than a duty to them.
It is. You're right. And right. So they say it's not in our jurisdiction, but here's what we're going to do, fellas. We will take this to the very top for us. For you, because that is our job. That's what we're supposed to do. I agree. Thanks, Mark. Go ahead, Matt.
Okay, so New York State Police, they actually went up and down it and all around it, and they were actually the most, so far, they've been the most useful or the most helpful, I guess is the proper way to put it. They actually took it and did something different than what the FBI told us the FBI was going to do with it. They, after reviewing it, said that because there isn't anything in there that violates New York code, even though the server is here, the server isn't illegal for her to have. Okay? It was an illegal server because of the information that was on it. That falls back to the State Department and to the federal government, because she violated that. So I even said to him.
So again, Matt, same thing. They have an obligation to report it to the FBI and to the feds then. They have an obligation to do that. Go ahead.
And here's what they did. instead of sending it to the FBI field office that Mark and Alan and Philip and I went to.
Don't forget Big, our good friend Mountain Man was with you as well. Terry, go ahead.
Yeah, well, Terry wasn't at the FBI. He was with us when we were at the state police. And so what they did is they said, listen, we sent this to the Public Corruption Investigative Unit New York City of the FBI. Now, what is striking to me about that, Coach, is bringing it to the FBI field office, they just said, well, we're giving this to our supervisors and they're going to send it to headquarters. And we're not going to do anything with it because it's already our investigation and our stuff. The New York State Police took it and did exactly what you and Mark just said about having a duty and an obligation to do something with it. They actually did better than what the FBI told us. They brought it to this Public Corruption Investigative Unit in New York City. That is supposedly the unit. You told me, Coach, that's the unit that issued the warrant and arrested Jeffrey Epstein.
That's right. It is.
Okay. So now I have not heard anything back from the district attorney's office. They actually have 45 days to reply to us. So I haven't gotten any call from them. I'm going to be going to check the mailbox this week to see if there's anything in there. But according to their policies and their rules, they have 45 days to reply to the information.
Okay, so Matt, not to cut you off, but I've got a lot I want to get to. The wheels of justice are turning slowly. We have not just laid this on the shelf and forgotten about it. We're waiting for some people to respond back to us, and we're formulating a plan of exactly how we're going to advance from here. Would that be fair to say, Matt?
Yep. And the next step is going to be the federal court system.
Amen.
That's the next step.
Okay. Anybody have any questions for Matt? That was a great synopsis, Matt. Mark, anything? Anybody anything to add? Any questions?
No questions, but Matt's done a great job getting together a T-shirt, and we'll be getting these out there soon. I talked with him because I showed up at the Lima conference, and it was an amazing conference, but there I had a table. So I really lost an opportunity to promote, but we're going to have T-shirts. We're going to try to – Matt and I are coming up with some ideas. He's got an idea to gather all this video and maybe make it available on a DVD, you know, with maybe some training, you know, to teach people how to file, how to read phone scripts. Good. Take good Jared's stuff. Videos and you know what I mean? And add to that. We'll have something on our table. So stay tuned and support. If you got a gift, contact Matt or me and let's get you assembled in the body and get you working, get you serving others and start putting some gems in your crown, folks.
Folks, listen, we are a ministry of volunteers. We're a ministry of volunteers. And the only way that some of these things we're trying to do get advanced further is some of you out there are going to have to volunteer to help. Oh. I mean, it's what Matt's a volunteer. Trump's a volunteer. Vic's a volunteer. Chad's a volunteer. I just go down through the list. We're a citizen army here, right? We're the body of Christ. And so some of you,
amen.
I've discussed this over and over and over and over. Some of you have such great skill sets and we want to put those skill sets to use. And I get sick and tired. The thing I fight most, I don't like top-down organizations. I think ultimately they fail. You name a top-down organization that's continuing to function well long after the death of the patriarch, Billy Graham, evangelistic, what Oral Roberts, you know, what's gonna happen to an organization when the chief spokesman leaves? And so that's, to me, that's why it's so important that we as citizens work together. We as believers in Christ use and operate our gifts and volunteer, say, Coach, I'll do this. And Coach, I was touched this last weekend by the Merle and Craig and the Iowa Huddle guys came down to Lima. I reconnected with those guys. That touched my heart, man. That touched
Amen.
My heart.
Amen.
I feel like in a lot of ways, and I'm the guy that's kind of responsible for it, that we lose touch with one another. And when I say we make this thing autonomous, you go do your own thing. Yeah, but it's not like you're 18 years old and you're off to college and we're disconnected. We need to continue to remain assembled, and we want to support what you do and stand with you what you do. And I'm just going to tell you, standalone organizations don't stand alone very long. It just doesn't work that way. And so we're trying to assemble the body of Christ and bring it together. And listen, we're not all going to get along. You're not all going to like me. I could go down that litany of people who are no longer with us because I said something wrong or did something wrong or they didn't like this part. And where are they? Who are they connected to? Come on, man. Who are you connected to? Don't quit in the middle of the game. Say, oh, well, he didn't do that. We're not going to win. We're not going to win doing that. I don't know how I got on that. So we're in the Sequel Justice Tour. And it's part of what we do. And we're going to go to Branson. Mark that down. We're going to be in Branson on Labor Day weekend. I'll get you more information on that. It's not going to be a protest as much as it is as a rally. Try to draw people together. Have some fun out there. Fellowship. Get to know each other. Celebrate Labor Day together. Hand out cards. Yada, yada, yada. That's happening in Branson on Labor Day weekend. And then this weekend, we're going to be in Mansfield, Ohio. Got a great event, going on up there. I've heard from some of you are driving in for that. Just go to CoachDaveLive.com, go to the schedule, all the information, everything you need is there. Got to throw this up there real quick.
Hey, Coach, one last thing.
Just a second, Matt. While I'm saying that, get that more Hillary foolery. Cue that up. Go ahead, Matt.
Okay, one other thing besides T-shirts, it's going to be hats, T-shirts, and bumper stickers that are all going to be made about the Equal Justice Tour. So we're trying to develop an apparel line that we can use.
Cool. People, we need to wear Equal Justice Tour shirts rather than Nike. Why would you advertise for Nike? Why do you do that?
Hey,
why do you advertise for the Ohio State Buckeyes? Advertise for us. Yeah, Mark.
We talked about this, and if you're running around to tables and you want to get word out, you got these bumper stickers, so they're going to have a cost. Okay, so let's say they cost 50 cents a piece. Okay, if we could give those out, we could get word out, but there's going to be a cost. So if we ordered 5,000 of them, that's $2,500. So in order for us to hand them out at the table, we'd like to work on a donor or donations just to cover the bumper sticker. So more to follow on this, but we want to grow, and we want to each of us support the kingdom. We want to find things to do. So this is kind of how we're doing it. Be thinking of things you can do locally. You can bring to the table and maybe we can get help with your project, and that's really how we want to do it individually. Matt's done an awesome job lining all this up. So let's just keep working together. Thanks, Coach.
That's right. And we want to come to your town. Don't wait for us to organize a rally. You get one organized, you get a hold of them, so we'll come. Or you say, Coach, I want to do something. We'd like to do it in September 20th. Are you available, Coach? And I'll say, yep, I'm available. I'll say, good, let's do it. Let's go. You have got to do that on your own. You have,
Coach,
to.
Coach, could yes. I clarify? Yes. Somebody's asking in the chat, if they donate to Equal Justice Tour, is it the exact same address as donating to Pass the Salt?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That's one leg of what it is that we're doing Pass the Salt, Coach Dave Live. One leg of it. Yes, ma'am. Sure is.
Now, Paulie, we do have a P.O. box, and Matt can share that. So if you want to contact Matt or have that person contact Matt, or Matt, you're welcome to put that P.O. box in the queue if you got a sec in the chat.
Okay. Yeah, give me 1 second, and I'll have to voice it. I'm on my phone, Mark. Give me one second.
Hang on. Stop that. Stop it.
Hold off.
Let's cut the confusion right now. Let's not confuse this anymore. Yes, it can go to Pass the Salt, and it goes into the Equal Justice. Yes.
Excellent. Thank you. That's simpler.
Right now. Jared, pull up the more Hillary foolery today. This is why we have to continue after this. And we're doing the best we can. We're a group of volunteers, guys working hard, trying to make a difference. I saw this today. This is amazing. This is from the Gateway Pundit. The ACLJ has obtained Obama Department of Justice immunity agreements with Hillary's lawyers to dispose of evidence and refused to comply with federal law. This was written into the immunity agreement that the Justice Department signed with Hillary Clinton's lawyers. There's a video attached here of Jordan Sekulo and Tom Fenton from Judicial Watch explaining exactly what's going on. Let's stay right there a second, Jared. They signed an agreement that says, Jared's making me dizzy. Come on down here a second, bud. The immunity agreements were drawn up between Cheryl Mills and Heather Samuelson. While the existence of these immunity agreements were public knowledge, nobody had really looked at what the agreements were. So slide on down here. Here's on down. There you go. The ACLU has just obtained previously unreleased documents related to the Clinton investigation immunity agreements given to top Clinton aides. These agreements reveal that James Comey's Federal Bureau of Investigation and Loretta Lynch's Department of Justice granted immunity to Hillary Clinton's aides and lawyers, Cheryl Mills and Heather Samuelson, for prosecution. No prosecution. Now listen, for anything found on their laptops violating multiple felony criminal statutes governing the mishandling of classified information and or the removal or destruction of records, including the Espionage Act. In other words, they gave immunity to Hillary Clinton's lawyers for anything they had on their laptops that violated federal law. Further, the DOJ and the FBI also agreed to evade the statutory requirements of the Freedom of Information Act by purporting to deem the contents of the laptops as not under DOJ or FBI custody or control. In other words, they were not, and then you go on to read and you find out that Loretta Lynch and Heather Samuelson, they had all of Hillary's emails on their devices as well. These laptops were critical to a meaningful investigation of Hillary Clinton's handling of classified emails, yada, yada, yada. And the Department of Justice and the FBI granted them immunity and said none of that stuff. 62,320 emails pulled from the Clinton servers were stored at one time on these laptops. And they said, okay, listen, we're going to give you immunity. This stuff is off limits to any investigation. Boys, this is so stinking deep and so stinking ugly. It'll make all of our hairs curl. Yes.
This is ridiculous. Hillary Clinton put us all in danger by what she did. She put the entire country of the United States in danger. But the FBI decided to go by you.
That's right. So that's
you. That's a bunch of nonsense.
That's why we march, baby. That's why we march. That's why we tour. That's what the whole thing is about. And Jared, maybe we can put this in the chat room. There's about a 4-minute video here. I'm not going to take time to play with Tom Fenton and Jordan Sekulo. It's very, very good to see what these scoundrels have done to us. We're either going to regain our government or we are absolutely sunk.
Coach, this lady has so many pokers in the fire. All right. So she pulls this poker out and this is not a viable one. But when her and Bill, when they sold the MRF technology to the Chinese from a stolen hard drive from Los Alamos Laboratory in New Mexico, she's into so much crime that I understand this is a disillusionment, but there's so many other pokers in the fire that I don't think she can pull them all out.
Okay. Yeah, I don't either, Vic. And we're gonna poke those out. Jared, go to Psalm 2 again. I want to make a connection today between Psalm 2 and Ezekiel 9 yesterday. Psalm 2, talking about conspiracies. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, okay? So there's a conspiracy theory, principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, they counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. And we know this, that the Lord's going to win. The Lord is going to win. In fact, it says that he sits in the heavens and he laughs. He's going to have them in derision. So the more that we see that they are being exposed, the more that their conspiracies are being, the light of day is being shown on those conspiracies, the more that we can be encouraged that we're going to win this thing. So Jared, let me connect to Ezekiel 9. Go to Ezekiel 9 for me real quick, which we talked about yesterday with a mark of Ezekiel upon us. I want you to understand this. This is, folks, listen, you're not going to live forever, okay? Not going to live forever. None of you are. He cried also in mine ears a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city. Now, who are those who have charge? Let's say, how about this? Cause them that have charge over the nation to draw near. You know, remember back in these days, there was no mass communication. They couldn't get the people of the nation to draw near. There was no way to communicate it. So they worked individually, town to town, right? He said, cry with loud ear, with a loud voice, those who have charge over the city, come near me. He said, everybody that's in charge, come here. Come here. Come in and get in here. And even every man his destroying weapon in his hand. He said, not only are you going to come here, dude, you bring your gun. You bring your guns. You bring your ARs. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man had an AR in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side, and they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. So these are God's enforcers. All right? God's enforcers show up. And he's already called together all of those in the city who are in control. And he told them, you guys bring your slaughter weapon with you too, boys. You all bring them all in here, okay? And so he brings all the leaders come in with all the weapons that they have. Ezekiel's men show up. Six men from the higher gate, they show up too, and they got their weapons. And they got a guy with them that's got a little ink pad. And the glory of Israel has gone up from the cherub upon where he was through the threshold of the house. And he called to the men clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And he says, listen, here's what I want you to do, boys. Things are about to get ugly. Things are about to get ugly. And because we don't want things to get ugly, I'm going to just have this guy go around, and he's going to put an X on you. He's going to give you the mark of Ezekiel. Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem. Put that mark upon their forehead of the men that sigh and cry. Hey, Vic, how many men do you suppose in America, in America's pulpits, are sighing and crying? How many of America's leaders are sighing and crying? I don't think it's very many.
How about a goose egg, Coach? How about a goose egg?
That's a very, very small remnant of people, right? So God says to Ezekiel, put this mark on him. You put this mark on him because we're going to do some cleaning up here. And he said, the ones that cry for the abominations that were done in Nimrod, the ones that are sighing and crying. I know Russ Dizdar's sighing and crying. Tom Dunn's sighing and crying. I know a lot of guys here are sighing and crying. Jamie Waldron's sighing and crying. Bradley Dean's sighing and crying. And the others, he said in my hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. And let not your eye spare, neither have you any pit. Clean up this mess, Ezekiel. Those of you with the Ezekiel mark. Huh? And slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man on whom is that mark. You get the picture here? Go kill them all, he said. Go kill them all. Not those guys got that mark. Again, it comes back to a very small remnant, doesn't it? Very, very small remnant. And I want to encourage you that if you've got that mark, you're in the Lord's hands. There's a protective covering around you. We've got to quit cowering, and we've got to stop being afraid. Jesus said that he'd be with us always, even to the end of the earth. He told us to go ye to all the world, and lo, I'll be with you always. He said, fear not, over and over. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and be very courageous. Be not afraid, be not dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. That's that mark. That mark is upon us. And so those of us who have that mark upon us and have been, we've been crying, there are some murderous weapons about to be unleashed. And we have to stand in support of those and speak the truth. And the promise is they're not going to be able to touch us.
Hey, Coach. Now,
yes, sir.
That goes back to what you originally started it. You know, we're all made in the image of God, but we're not all children of God.
Amen.
If you go back to Ezekiel chapter 8, and it piggybacks chapter 9, he's digging down through that wall, and where is he looking into? He says, son of man, come in. I want you to look through this hole here, and I want you to see what's going on inside my temple. I want you to see the adultery going on, the fornication, the idol worship. I want you to see all this wickedness that's going on up in there. So it is going on. God's got angels on assignment, and nobody's getting by with anything.
Amen, brother. Amen.
God's got angels taking notes, and nobody's getting by. Hillary's not getting by. Nobody's getting by with anything. But it's up to men of God, like yourself, Coach, and everybody, these women of God that's in this huddle. It's up to folks like us to get out here and expose this kind of junk that's going on. Because, see, we're supernaturally sealed. And that mark that you're talking about is a supernatural mark. And mm-hmm. all the devils from hell can see that mark. Every one of them can see it. And people that's in the physical realm, they can see it by the example that how we live our lives, holy and righteous through the blood of the Lamb and the power of the Holy Ghost. That's the difference right there, Coach. It's the Holy Ghost that makes the difference in our lives when we walk this thing out.
That's right, hey. Alan. That right there is my mark. Right there is everywhere I go. They got that on. They know I'm marked. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, you know, you brought up the immunity that Hillary's personal lawyers, who happened to be employees at the time they did all that stuff, they're the ones that deleted the emails and everything. Then they became her personal lawyers when all the stuff hit the fan. But I did some checking, and I downloaded a full copy of James Comey's statements back on July the 5th, 2016, or whenever it was. The word exonerate, he did not exonerate Hillary. He simply said, we will not prosecute.
Right.
She has not been exonerated. I don't care what Fox News or all the other alphabet news places say. Hillary has not been exonerated from her actions.
She's never been charged till we did it. How can you be exonerated if you haven't been charged, right?
Absolutely. Exoneration is not it's only something that can happen after somebody has been charged for something.
That's right. So again, it's all lies, and why? Because of Psalm 2, right? Well, I'm telling you this. I'm moaning and groaning. I'm in a constant state of mourning for what's going on in this nation. That's why I got that mark. Yeah, come on in.
Coach, it's Randy. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm on my phone. So anyway, I just want to share this, Coach. I hope this will encourage everybody that this is moving forward. We may not know it, but I was on the. I sigh and cry all the time, Coach. You know I do. But anyway, coming to work the other day, and I was praying, Lord, why isn't anything happening? You know what we've done, and I was sighing and crying, and Coach, Lord. Got real peaceful, and all of a sudden I heard the Lord, and he said, I got it. It's going forward. You may not see it, but it's going forward. You guys did your job, and it's going forward. You just keep believing me. You keep pressing it. It's going to go. It's going to happen. This is going to fall. My word will not return void. You guys did it. You spoke it, and my word will not return void. And, Coach, that's the word of the Lord. That's not my word, and that's not our hope. It's the fact. It's the word of the Lord, and it won't return void, Coach.
Randy, Praise God.
He blesses obedience. I'm just telling you, he blesses obedience. Now, again.
Amen, Randy.
It's not McDonald's. It's not you do it, and all of a sudden she's arrested. You do it, and it gives the Lord a sacrifice that he can begin to work with. And he told us that he would never leave, and he would never forget, that he will do what he says he's going to do. And I agree with you, Randy. But see, we live in a culture and a society. So, okay, it's been 3 weeks. What's going on there? It's been three weeks.
The lesson is. Amen. The lesson is when Peter stepped out of the boat, you have to step out in faith that your work is going to yield glory in heaven. I mean, you have to step out. You can't have doubt. So doubters, that's of Satan. Y'all know what Jesus told Peter. So, you know, let's just step out in faith. Arm to arm, let's lock arms and let's go do it. Randy, I love your faith. You're too, a testimony, Randy. Brother.
And I got to say this. I got to say this again. I just got to say this. I want somebody out there to think about this. We've lost some soldiers. We've lost some great soldiers in our crew. And I don't know why. I don't know why. But I suspect it's over offense. I suspect it is. And, you know, as much as we don't want to hear this, it's pride. It's pride. If you dig deep down a why your butt hurt. At the center of it is his pride. And if we're gonna, I wasn't in the military. I think I know the answer to this question. What do they call it when you've signed up and you're in marching formation, and you're part of the Marines, and all of a sudden you go home? What do they call that? Anybody know what they call that?
Desertion.
Or when you leave without permission, you are
AWOL.
You're UA.
Absent without leave.
Amen.
Now I know this right now. I'm just gonna tell the truth. Some of you guys are absent without leave, and you didn't even tell the commander why you were leaving. You just went home. Because, right, you don't agree with this and don't agree with that. And, you know, coach, you're missing here. Okay, well, cool. Are we your brothers or not? Who are you aligned with right now? Who are you fighting with now? Well, we're brothers. Come on, dude. Come on. Get over your butt hurt. Can I shift gears here a minute?
Hey, coach, before you shift, back with what Randy was saying.
Hey, Vic, let me hang on a second. I get butt hurt too. But I don't take it out on you. Go ahead, Vic.
Back what Randy was saying about the word not coming back void, it's you have to believe to conceive faith. A lot of people think that faith is first and then the belief. But you got to do the work. You got to believe.
Amen.
We got to walk out your belief. Amen. Peter had to step on the water. Amen. He had to step on the water to show that he didn't let him sink. You got to do something. You got to move. You got to act.
Amen.
So God, when you step on the water, in faith, God builds a sidewalk. That's how it works, boys. That's how it works. My ear is. I want to switch gears here with you. Hey, I love you guys, man. I love you guys. Yeah, I'll be honest. There's nothing worse for me to have someone go AWOL and I don't have any idea why. And I think, God, should I call him? Should I call him? Well, I wasn't the one that left. Please tell me why you left. We still be friends. We still work together. You can still run your ministry and do what you want. You're still my brother. I'm still for you. Come on, man. Hey, I want to switch gears here today. We've been talking. Some of you may want to tune out. We only got 15 minutes left. I want to update you guys. A lot of you are aware of it. A lot of you aren't aware of it. Jared, pull up. It says MOVOTO. It's one, two, three, fourth thing down. Some of you know that we purchased a ministry center. And if you've been traveling down this road with us for the last 4 years, been with us, some of you are aware of it and how I struggled with whether or not I should do it and how I couldn't get away from it. And the Lord just kind of plopped it into. I've said a number of times, the last thing I want to do is build buildings and put money into buildings. This is something above and beyond what this is. This is, hear me, Chad, I need your amen here, Chad. I think Chad's in here today. This is a refuge center. The Lord has graciously given us the ability to have this 29.5 acres that connects right up to our property, high spot overlooking where we are here, sky high. The Lord has enabled us to fall into our hands. And it hasn't fallen into our hands because it's fallen into our hands because the Lord wanted us to have it. A ministry center. Just again this weekend, I had, as you guys know, yesterday, we had five people staying at my house again this weekend. This ministry center becomes available to us. It needs cleaned up and needs a lot of work. It's 29.5 acres in this beautiful building. And I see all the time. My house is not big enough to continue to bring people into my house and sleep on the floor. And so the Lord has put this in the hands of all of us to do something remarkable with it. It's one of the most remarkable pieces of property that you'll ever see. I got some pictures to show today. Mark Trump's been out here helping me over the last couple tree limb gems here. And Jared, just run through some of these pictures. Folks, this is 29 and a half acres. About 25 of it is wooded. The grass is cut now. It doesn't look like this anymore, okay? And this great big 4,900 square foot building at the top, okay? We have now purchased this. My wife and I did a second mortgage on our own home to purchase this thing, all right? Needs a lot of work. It's fearfully and wonderfully made. It needs a lot of work. Huge, huge conference room where we can gather. Bedrooms. We're trying to develop this thing. There's a lot of trimming that needs to be done. A lot of work. A lot of work that needs to be done, okay? As Jared continues to run through the pictures. These were the pictures that were taken by the realtor to put on the website. Huge, huge pine tree. I mean, it's just, you have to have spirit eyes. It has water. Everything works. Pretty much everything works, but it needs a lot of repairs. And I've had guys come in periodically to try to help us here get the house up and running. The magnificent part of this is not the house, folks. The magnificent part is the 29.5 acres that are attached to it. But the house sits on top of it with solid bones. It's a great, great, it's going to be, people are going to come from all over America to be ministered to here at this thing. This is not a, you get what I'm saying. But we need help. Now, hang on, Vic. Don't send anybody my way. We spent the last couple of days. Ryan Duncan was up here. And Mark's been here a couple of days. God bless Mark Trump. Mark is always there to help. Mark's dived in. Tree Limb Jim's here. But we're trying to formulate a plan on how to do this before we begin to put time and effort and money into it. We've done a lot. We've ripped up carpets. We've done a lot. There's down through there. Look at that runs right down to my house. This is all, it's unbelievable property. It's up very, very high. You can't get the pitch from this picture, okay? But we need help. By help, I mean we at some point we need to formulate some work crews that can come and can just help pull up weeds and help clean up this and help clean up that. And it's what a remarkable property. Well, we have immediate needs right now. And no, they're not financial, although we will need financial help. Our need right now is equipment. We need equipment and we need hands. And so I sat down with Mark before we went to bed last night. He and I didn't go to bed together. That sounded bad. Before he was staying in our house last night. And Mark has spent the last couple of days, we've been going through it. We've looked at the bones, we've looked at the roof, we've looked at every room, we've looked at everything. But this thing is going to be so unbelievably, folks, if you can imagine looking right down through there, oh my goodness, we're going to have cabins of refuge down there for broken men to be able to come from across America whose lives are in shatters and put them down in there and give them some respite and chance to recover and turn it into I see the vision. It's hard for me to share the vision totally with you. But we need help. We need help. But we need help of equipment. And we know that some of you guys maybe have some equipment that you could loan to us, equipment that's just sitting there idle. You're not using it. We could use it. If we had a skid steer for a week, if we had a skid steer for 10 days, oh my goodness, the work we could get done. There's a lot of stuff that needs to be done. I'm going to shut up a minute, and I'm not asking for your money. I'm asking for your, as Mark would say, your treasures and your talents and your equipment. Mark, come on in here, Mark, and talk about.
I'm going to ask for money, but this is what I'd like everyone to do in the queue who is led by the Spirit. I'd like you to get out a pencil or make a note of these three categories: equipment, skills, and donations. Equipment, skills, and donations. So I'd like to send a thank you out to Ryan Duncan and Steve Deck. Is that right, Coach, who came by? Yep. So Steve came by. He's an electrician. He walked through the home and gave us a lot of guidance. Ryan
we was on the roof. That's the last place we were. We're looking at the roof. We're looking at this, how to change this, how to demo this. This piece has to come off. This wall's got to come out. So, again, that's a skill. Okay, so you got equipment, skills, and donations. We need plumbing, air conditioning. So HVAC skills, electrical skills, architect. If you got a good mind and can draw an elevation, you're really good with AutoCAD, and you can, you know, make landscaping appear in a picture, and you want to come donate your skills. Roofing, we got a lot of roofing to do. Equipment. Coach mentioned a skid steer. If we could get a skid steer up here that you're not using, that we could leave on the property, I can ensure that we maintain it. I can ensure that it's well taken care of and kept. Or a tractor with a bucket or both. We need lawn equipment. Coach has 29 acres up there. Probably 20 acres or 15 to 20 acres are open field. So to start mowing this is to make it look like just an amazing golf course type place. So we need a commercial mower or two. Weed eaters. We need heavy weed eaters. We need a lift possibly to do some of this work. We're going to build a deck on it, which is going to be one of the main attractions. And it'll be, you'll go out on the deck right outside the event center when you're taking a break from speaking, or you're taking a break from your corporate gathering, or whatever it is we use a place for. There'll be a beautiful deck overlooking the lake. Okay, skills, again, we went through a few of those, but think about a remodel. Look, watch Chip and Joe on the remodel.
Pardon me,
yeah.
Mark. Look, yep. That's a picture from looking out over, out the what we call the great room. It's going to seat probably 7,500 people out over the Buckeye Lake. If you could get the pitch to how far that is down there and how beautiful that is. And, oh, my goodness. Go ahead, Mark.
Amen, amen. So we had people come in and they threw hands on it willingly, Vic and Craig and, you know, Tree Limb Jim. So that's what we need, are willing people to help. So the donations, what we're going to do there is we're going to look at raw materials. We need lumber. We need to pay for services that we can't find people for. We need to pay for fuel. You know, we need to upgrade the electric. We need to buy receptacles, et cetera. Attractions. We want to attract people there. And of course, when we all come there, we want to fellowship. You know, we want to enjoy our time whenever we're out here serving, forming our battle plans. We come and we patch up each other's wounds. So, yeah, if there's anything you can do, again, write these down: equipment, skills, and donations. And let's see, think about a remodel and see what you want to contribute. Your time. Thank you to everyone who has come. Thank you to Dale Socia. Thank you to Rob Pugh, who are coming. These people are setting aside time. Ryan's coming back. So, I mean, we're hoping that that you guys will see it in your heart to what I want to do is line up working parties. For instance, we got to take all the cabinet faces off and sand them down, strip them, sand all the cabinet framing. And that's a job for a couple people for a couple days. The basement, it all needs to be emptied. All that stuff's got to come out of the basement. We got to scrape the walls down, repaint. That's another job for a few people, you know. We could get that done. So as we line up these working parties, Coach will be scheduling time. I'll be scheduling time for people to come out. Okay, we have needs for the equipment operators. I mean, Jim can operate. So, you know, I can operate equipment too. So if you have a skill you want to contribute, let's get it assembled in what we're doing, and you'll get to enjoy this. This will be, whenever you're done, you're going to look back, and it's going to be amazing, guys. So the vision's coming together. All the input is shaping what we hope to be the final view of Coach's vision. That's what we're working towards. His family is fully committed. So let's rally around him and let me know. Just contact me. Let me know what you want to do. And we'll get you up here as soon as we have our next planned engagement. Okay.
We're putting together a group of overseers who are going to manage the finances on this thing and make the decisions about what's going to do this and we're not going to do this. And so this just isn't me trying to do something here at this ministry center. This belongs to us. All right. And I just think the the opportunity to reach this area and beyond is laying right in our hands. But we need help. Now, listen to me. God bless you, Mark. Thanks. He's showing you the pictures that I mean, this place is, I pulled all this carpet up. It's all gone. Folks, this place has been given to us by God. And I don't really know why. I don't know yet the full purpose of it. As I said, Chad's not in there. I see this at some point down the road. This is going to become a place of refuge. Who knows what's going
on? I'm in here, Dave.
Who knows the hell that's going to break loose in America? The people are going to need to be able to go somewhere. Folks, we have that place that people are going to be able to go. Not only
Amen.
Do we have it, it's a high place. It's a high place with a lot of acreage to be able to house people, to be able to plant food, to be able to. We have this, even though I don't know why. Are you with me, Chad?
Amen. Absolutely.
Hey, Coach, one more thing. Oh, I'm sorry, Chad. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Mark.
All right. Thanks, Chad. Sorry about that. One more thing real quick. If you don't have, we all know people. Okay? We all know people who have these things sitting around. Equipment, who have skills, are sitting around bored. We all know people. Now check this out. Ryan and Jim, Tree Limb Jim, are saying that they know companies who can donate this equipment for tax write-offs. Okay, so maybe you know somebody who has a business. They got an equipment business nearby in your hometown. If you don't know them, go ask. You know, you're part of a ministry now. And you're saying, hey, we're forming this ministry in Ohio. It's going to be a refuge for wayward people, and we're going to work out of this place. Can you donate some equipment for a tax write-off? So be creative here, okay? Understand the need of a remodel, and then see if you can line up something on behalf of the kingdom, okay?
We are going to train an army here. Everything we need to train an army is right here, right here. We'll be bringing, I just know that's what the Lord wants to do. I want you to see something as you look at this right now. It says sold, if you're looking at the screen, $320,000 on 6/28/19. We paid $300,000. They originally asked $500,000 for it. My wife and I second mortgaged our house. We've got $300,000. But this property, even though my wife and I are on the hook for it, this property does not belong to my wife and I. This is God's property. It's God's property. We're getting an elder board to oversee it. We're getting the proper paperwork done to turn this into a ministry center. That's what we want to do. If you can scroll down a little bit more, Jared, I came across something yesterday. It doesn't matter. The Lord not only gave it to us. Look at that right there. Home value. What is that? Can anybody read what's that say on there? Home value. $524,835. We got it for $300,000. We need to put another $100,000 into it, probably. That's my guess. I don't know. Folks, this is the Lord's brought this in. He's brought this to us, to all of us. To think that you guys could come, that we could have said, hey, come on, come to Ohio, man. We're gonna have a Holy Ghost week. Come on, guys. And you can come, and I got a place to put you up. And we can eat and we can stay out of the rain and
As you form your own ministries, folks, as you form your own ministries and you're crossing the country, you got a refuge. If you want to bring your ministry here, you got a place to bring them. It's a good central place. We can huddle around Coach. He can, maybe he can host some of these first huddles, annual gap. I mean, there's many, many things we could do here. But look at your own ministries and see how your ministry could divert your funds from hotels to maybe a kingdom spot, you know, like this.
This is officially legally called Sky High Ministry Center. Sky High Ministry Center is the official name of it. The lawyers are doing the legal work to, as I said, Michelle and I are on the hook with it, but we're moving that into, as I said, a group of overseers are going to see it. It will be, lack of a better term, church property, not personal property, church property. Takes a while to make that stuff. See, I won't get into the particulars of it, how we did it this way and why we did it. But we did it. We got it. We need your help. So listen, don't load up in your car and come. Don't do that. Please, don't do that. We're going to set up times. We're going to set up a couple weekends and get some guys in here. But we have a great, great need for equipment right now. All right? God bless you. I'm sorry that we ended up talking about this at the end, but it's been bubbling under the ground, and I just didn't really know how to talk about it because there's just so many do's and don'ts and things that needed to be done to it. And it's a remarkable. You could stay there tonight. Anybody could go in there and stay there tonight, but it's not up to it. An old guy lived there. He's still alive. He's 94 years old, and he lived his last 4 years sleeping on a couch in one of those rooms. And the house, it just hasn't had any TLC, any love and care. And it's not just it's 5,000 square feet, one level, great big ministry room. It's like, it's unbelievable. So pray for us. Let us know what you can do and how you can help, and talk to your friends about it. Got others who might know, who have pieces of equipment, maybe they could donate to us, because we have the workers to get it done, but we're lacking on the equipment side of it. Thanks for listening.
Dave.
Yes, Chad.
Before you hang up here, I want to come back to that Chappaqua a minute. I don't believe it's faith that we're lacking. We're lacking perseverance. We've got to keep on the grind. We've got to keep pushing forward. Amen, that's what brother. The message is. Can't let off because we don't have instant results.
Amen, brother.
You got to keep pushing. Don't give up.
Long haul. In for the long haul. That's right, Chad. We're in for the long haul, baby. In for the long haul. Hey, God bless y'all. Listen, I'm not whining because Michelle and I have taken the mortgage. I'm not whining about that, okay? We made that decision. We're cool with it. We're cool with it. Help us make this place become what it can be. That's all we're asking, all right? All right. Bless y'all. We'll see you tomorrow.